Hello, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. It's good to be with you this Saturday morning. I'm fantasizing about a cool front coming through, but, you know, until that takes place, you know, this is what we've got. A few sprinkles coming in. That was nice. I had a woman come to see me yesterday, and this is what she said to me. She says, "I want a miracle. I'm looking for a drastic change." She said, "The pain is so bad in my hands and my fingers," and she pointed toward her wrist, and you could see where obviously the wrist was just distorted and swollen. But her middle finger on both hands, left and right, you knew that. You could just see how swollen they were. Oh, my word. Poor woman was suffering. And she just was very, you know, matter of fact with me. She said, "I'm looking for a drastic change." Well, she's been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and of course the standard drugs, lots of anti-inflammatories. You know, she was complaining about her tummy being upset and the tummy getting a lot larger than what she'd like it to be, and she's just not doing any good. So she kind of sees the writing on the wall. Yeah, she can take all those drugs, but it's not going to lead to any health-promoting benefits. Yeah, you can take Tylenol and you can destroy your liver anytime you want. You don't think that's true? Well, why don't you Google Tylenol and liver failure and see what you come up with? It's got to be one of the most dangerous drugs of all time. You have got to remember, every drug has poison in it. That's poison. I didn't say that sugar's not poison. Didn't say that aspartame is not poison. They're poison too. But drugs, every drug you could take contains poison. And so I just matter-of-factly told her this, and I found a reference for it. It comes from Michael Murray, MD. Okay, the topic is rheumatoid arthritis. Dr. Murray goes on to write that rheumatoid arthritis is one of the most debilitating inflammatory conditions to humans. And the only reason I'm reading this to you is because I think you're very smart, and you're going to be able to hear what I'm telling you. And you're going to process this information. Yes, not everybody has rheumatoid arthritis, but there's a lot of people that have inflammation, and there's a whole bunch of people that have arthritis, and that prevents them from living the life of their dreams. He goes on to write that treatment with vitamin K2 is showing tremendous promise in the treatment and prevention of rheumatoid arthritis. Rheumatoid arthritis is a chronic inflammatory condition that affects the entire body, particularly the joints. Evidence points to rheumatoid arthritis as an autoimmune reaction in which antibodies develop to fight the patient's own joint tissues. This reaction can be triggered by a variety of factors. Rheumatoid arthritis is a classic example of a disease that can be affected by genetic, dietary, and environmental factors. To treat the causes of RA, researchers are studying a form of vitamin K called minoquinone 7, or MK7, which is already known to improve bone density and overall bone health. As a side note, if you have osteoporosis, that's probably really a vitamin K2 deficiency, folks. Let me just pick it up right here. In one study, scientists found that patients treated with vitamin K2 or minoquinone 7, they had a significant decrease in certain markers of inflammation, while an important marker of bone health increased. That means your bones begin to grow and strengthen the way that you want them. I don't know if that means anything to you, but why would you want to suffer needlessly? Today we have access to so much information. You could very, very easily type in rheumatoid arthritis and vitamin K2 and see what you come up with. You could even more easily type in vitamin K2 and reversing osteoporosis. Now, it's highly likely that if the person talking to you about rheumatoid arthritis is more interested in selling you a drug that has horrible side effects and costs a whole lot of money, they may not be interested in telling you about this. But you know, the truth is the truth, folks. And so my expectations for her with vitamin K2 is she's going to see a significant improvement in about 6 days with the severe pain that she has. But, you know, the responsibility is really for the patient here. I mean, I can do my job, but they have got to be honest with themselves. 6 days into the supplementation, shouldn't you be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, what's going on? Do I have less pain, less inflammation? You know, it's got to be difficult when you try to bend a finger and it won't bend, or you want to make a fist and you can't make a fist, and you can't open your hand. But I saw a woman recently, it looked like the letter Z, each finger. You had one digit pointing one direction. You had the middle digit, or the middle, you know, joint angling the other direction. I kind of thought to myself, well, how does she put her hands in her pocket and pull out keys and turn the ignition on in the car? Everything's got to be difficult. If your joints, especially of the fingers or the toes, are becoming malformed, why don't you just think about vitamin K2? Maybe you should go to your doctor and say, what is your plan for reversing my arthritis without destroying my kidneys or my liver or the lining of my intestines? I mean, sure, people take aspirin very successfully, but not always. There's a whole bunch of people that die every year because it burns a hole in their stomach and they just bleed out and they can't find the leak to seal it. If you want to join me on the radio, someone was just trying to call before I start on this line of thinking, so please feel free to call 903-586-5257. I guess if somebody's trying to call this early, they've got to be from California, right? Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, morning. Yes, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. And just wanted to know, I had some kidney problems. What's good to bring the creatine down for your kidneys in order to get them
What did your doctor say the exact problem was?
Well, I have a stage 3 kidney disease and just wanted to know the best way to do it. I did have cancer in one of the kidneys was taken out.
So all these numbers, like your creatine levels, these are all based on the single remaining functioning kidney that's left, right?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
All right. Very, very simple. I'll just kind of go through these very quickly, and you tell me what you think later. Study after study shows that if you start consuming baking soda and water every day, it's very soothing to the kidney, the one that's remaining. And so I'm certain that your kidney specialist has already told you about a fourth to a half a teaspoon of baking soda every day in water to save your kidney.
No, sir, he hasn't. He was just working on the blood pressure.
Okay. I don't like that. But here's what you're looking at. You're looking at taking a little bit of baking soda every day. And if you look up the information that I'm telling you after you get off the air with me, you'll find out, this is interesting. I wonder why the kidney specialist didn't tell me about this. So just judge it for yourself. Evaluate everything. It's fine with me if you're as skeptical as possible. But I'm just telling you what I've seen work over and over again. So if you will start baking soda today and a little bit of water, I think you'll find it's perfectly fine.
One fourth to one half teaspoon.
That seems to be the therapeutic range that works very well. And what you're looking for, if you're in stage 3 kidney failure, let's just say that your glomerular filtration rate or your GFR is right at the number 28. Do you know where it is?
About around that.
Okay. I just had a life insurance exam, and my GFR was 117.
Wow, that's pretty high.
That means that's pretty good.
Which is good, yeah.
Yeah, and so in this situation, when the number's low, this is measuring how efficiently your kidneys are working. And so if yours is around 26, 27, 28, the only thing that you need to see is you need to see your creatinine come down. You need to see your BUN, which is blood urea nitrogen, come down. You need to see the BUN creatinine ratio come down. But you've got to see that GFR go up, which means Oh, my word. The kidneys are starting to make a comeback. The kidney, excuse me, is starting to work better. So if it were me, this is what I would do. I would take 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda or sodium bicarbonate, whatever you call it's fine by me, and I would drink that each morning when I wake up. The other thing that I would do is I would take the juice of one lemon and I would squeeze it in a metal vise or ream it out or put it in a bowl, whatever you got to do. For all I know, you have the strongest grip strength of all time. You might could crush it over a glass of ice water and get all the lemon juice out of it.
And I actually do that. That's really good to hear.
Well, oh no, good job. The only thing is, it's a timing issue. If you will do this prior to every time that you eat, you will start to see a great improvement. The next thing is this. The kidneys, and I know I'm going to be very blunt the way I say this, there is nothing that will beat the crap out of your kidney like sugar will. Nothing. It is pure poison to the kidney. I am completely uninterested in what your nephrologist says about drinking Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, Icy's, Mountain Dew, milkshakes, cookies, cakes, pies. I could care less. My interest and allegiance is to you. And so you have to avoid sugar like the plague if you want to see your kidney improve.
I would do that.
Okay, so good. The other thing is, if you will do your job, that is to gain muscle. If you will gain muscle on your frame, you will take a huge burden of stress off your kidneys. And so you do that through physical training and through physical exercise. If you don't know how to do that, well, there's a whole bunch of videos on YouTube that would probably teach you how to do that in a gentle fashion. We're not trying to do a 10-hour workout in one day. That would probably throw so much debris into your kidney that you would be sore and in bed for 3 days, not able to move. But if you wake up every day and you drink your baking soda and your lemon water, and you start your day with 30 minutes of training before you do anything else, then I think that we have a template that might can work. Now, the other thing...
I do exercise heavily.
Good.
Lift weights, and I also run.
You've got to be careful about the amount of protein, though. I am not a fan of a high-protein diet when the kidneys, so... Sometimes, is there any chance that you're carrying more body weight than what you should?
Yeah, that is very, very likely. The last time, I think it was my body mass was 29.
The two supplements that I'm really thinking of right now off the top of my head would be one called inositol hexaphosphate, and the other one is called Hawthorne. And I think
get those products at?
Well, what would your best guess be if these are nutritional products?
Not from the doctor, probably from the health food store.
Yep, you got it. You figured it out. Way to go. And so if you took these, it's only a matter of time until you do not even need blood pressure medication at all. Just a matter of time. The lemon juice is going to start gently cleaning the arteries in your kidneys and flushing them out. And so...
Can you spell those two products for me?
Yeah, Hawthorne, H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N, Hawthorne.
Okay.
And the other one, it's usually just goes by its abbreviation. It's capital I, and then capital P, and then the numeral 6.
Got it.
And, of course, if you're Japanese, that would be called Roku. I'm just joking. And so,
like your sense of humor.
You do speak Japanese, don't you?
A little bit.
Okay. Ichi, ni, san. Anyway, so if you will... IP6, what that does is going to act as a natural chelating device to help remove debris from your arteries. And so when you're trying to improve the health of the kidneys, if you can cause the muscles to become stronger and absorb more oxygen and get greater blood flow, oh, that is a gift straight from heaven. And so losing weight always helps the kidneys get better. You know, I've seen so many people that the way their kidneys were destroyed were, number one, they were prescribed either an antibiotic or lots of pain medication, and that'll sure do it right there. So I'm not trying to get into that topic right there. I think walking barefooted helps the kidneys. I've seen it work over and over and over again.
Walking barefoot, like in the grass or
yeah,
the sand?
Yeah, you betcha. either way. Now, I can tell you what I'm a huge fan of. Sometimes I have people that come to see me that are complete vegetarians, and they'll write me a note saying, "Dr. Morgan, I think supplements are completely a waste of time and useless." And I'm thinking to myself, have they ever had somebody that actually knows what they're doing? But to make a long story short, there are supplements available that are completely made from calf kidneys, and they contain substances called protomorphogens. And these calf kidney extracts, they basically are healing agents for a weak kidney. And so that's one of the things that you're looking for. And there's one particular product called Albaplex.
Can you spell that for me?
Albaplex, that may be of great benefit. Now, from the Mineral Kingdom, it is very, very easy to look up information and show that magnesium and zinc both play roles in restoring the kidneys back to proper function. Now, in the real world, last night we were in the dark in the backyard, and my 5-year-old son said, "Dad, is vitamin C what you get from the sunshine and vitamin D what you get from apples?" And I said, "No, it's just the reverse." He goes, "Oh, so you get vitamin C from apples?" And I'm going, "Yes." "And you get vitamin D from the sun?" I said, "Yes, that's correct." Of course, and he'll...
Sounds like your son's following in your footsteps.
Yeah, let's hope so. He's going to have to start right now. There's a pretty steep curve here, a learning curve. But your kidneys are really completely, just about totally responsible for making all the vitamin D that you need. Now, your skin is darker, right?
That's correct.
And because if you looked at my legs right now, because I'm wearing shorts, how white do you think they are? Are you kidding? You might go, "Do you ever get in the sunshine with your calves?" But when you are in the sun, the cholesterol beneath your skin is going to react with the ultraviolet radiation from the sunlight, and from there it converts the cholesterol into a form of vitamin D, but it's got to go to the kidneys where it's transformed. So just like I mentioned earlier, the woman that I saw yesterday with very severe rheumatoid arthritis,
yeah,
she's going to
need... recommend a vitamin K2 for
Yeah, you picked up on that. And so in your case also, I have seen kidney failure cases really benefit from vitamin K2, and there's lots of ways to do this. And so these are all starting points for you. But what I mentioned earlier, I think what you're going to discover is if you consistently take the lemon juice and the baking soda before you have a meal, or the lemon juice in particular, that is going to start scrubbing debris from your kidneys. The IP6 is going to help. The hawthorn is going to help. The raw kidney extracts from a calf, meaning from a cow, is going to help a lot. And if you really stick with this daily discipline of exercise first thing in the morning, my job is to make you almost a little bit exhausted and tired every day. So when you lay down to sleep, your sleep is perfect. You are worn out. Do you sleep well at night?
Extremely.
Good. That is a blessing from heaven. I want to ask you a personal question.
Sure.
Just your opinion. I don't care what you say. I just want to know what you think. Do you think that there will be deep, peaceful, restful, restorative sleep in hell?
No.
Do you think there will be no rest whatsoever?
No rest.
You know, I'm thinking about that verse in Isaiah. Doesn't it say, "He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee"?
Well said.
Well, do you think there will be any friendships in hell?
No.
I don't either. You think there will be any good conversations or good, sweet talking and comfort?
No. I think is what those individuals have done on earth, if they've done evil and they do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, nothing wavering, have him only and his blood as a personal Savior, they get saved, that they will go to heaven. But each individual that does not, and the evil that they've done on earth and the wrath that they've done on earth toward other people, they will have that in hell with them.
I heard
the rest of eternity.
Well, I agree with you, and I heard a minister say from a pulpit not that terribly long ago that he didn't see it that way. And he said specifically that a loving God would never, ever condemn a human being to hell. And he felt like that everybody's going to heaven no matter what you do or how obedient you are. And but anyway, but that's not what the scripture says, is it?
Bible doesn't say that. It said when Jesus Christ came, he came to free the world from sin.
Yes.
And the individual, each individual have that choice.
Well, if the
once they make that choice, they either go to heaven or hell. There's no in between.
Yeah, and each choice has eternal consequences, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
I mean, isn't hell referred to as the eternal burning flame?
Yes.
Eternal. What does that word mean? It doesn't mean for the next 2 weeks you'll be in hell.
That's right. And while the worm dies not, that means that everything that you've done on earth, whatever you do that's against God, that's why the wrath of God is there. The wrath of God is not for the people that do good. It's for those that do wrong. And that's the punishment for them.
Do you think there'll be any light in hell?
No. Fire, as it says, eternal fire, forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. I agree with
cannot
you.
Cannot be quenched.
The next thing, and I agree with everything you said. Thank you for letting me ask you your personal thoughts on that. But
that is my pleasure.
I've already figured out that your personal thoughts don't come from your own thoughts. They come from the Word of God.
Word of God, Christ only.
How can you go wrong if you refer to the Word of God as your basis for every answer?
That is right, and you want that relationship with it.
Let's go back to the kidney, because I want to give you just a smidgen more information.
Thank you.
There are substances found in vegetables called mucopolysaccharides, and I really see these as very soothing and healing to the kidneys. And so what if you only ate small amounts of protein? Let's just say you had 2 eggs for breakfast instead of 10. That would be fine by me. That's not high protein. And plus, eggs are 65% pure fat with just a little bit of protein, but it's such an easy source of protein to digest. And of course, I'm sort of joking by saying this, but if you go to Chili's tonight for supper and you order the full rack of baby back ribs, and those are made from pork products, they may be in your stomach for the next 6 days digesting it. They stay there. But if you ate something like eggs, well, that only takes about 45 minutes to process. So let's just use protein that's easy on the gut or easy on your digestion, easy on the kidneys. Fish.
You recommending the egg white only or the egg white?
Oh, no. Oh, you beat me to the punch. You have got to have that rich, nutrient-dense fat if you want the kidneys to heal. Don't do an egg white-only type deal. I would avoid that. I'm not saying that's the worst thing that a person could do, but when you do that, you cannot process protein properly, and that's one of the roles of the kidneys. They kind of dole out and organize protein that's in the bloodstream, just like if you had like a saltwater fish tank that has a protein skimmer that removes all the urine and the urea and the ammonia from the fish water when the fish go TT in the water. Well, your kidneys are the most sophisticated, intricate filtration system of the body. I even had a man recently that came to see me, and he was just joking as he said this, but he said, you know what, I've got a problem that's developed over this last week. And, I'm pretty quick to pick up on sarcasm because I think I learned that from my father very well, but he said, I've got this problem that's developed. And so he's got this condition called a right bundle branch block. And so I'm just taking the cardiologist's word for it on the reports. And the cardiologist is saying there's basically 3 nodes or locations for the upper half of the heart that aren't even receiving any neurological input. They're not firing. He's only firing on 1 cylinder. He needs all 4 cylinders to fire. And so
my blockage, he has blockage on me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But to make a long story short, in the real world, this is what happens. If he stands up out of a chair, he gets a little woozy and dizzy, but his heart starts, pounding and just laboring. And I mean, right now, I don't even feel my heart. I don't feel my liver. I don't feel my kidneys.
Smooth. You got all just clean as a whistle.
Well, I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect. I've got room for improvement like everybody else. As long as you're living and breathing, there's room to get better, right?
That is correct.
But my attention is not drawn to my heart right now. And so for him, even if he tries to bend over just slightly, he starts to get dizzy and black out.
Wow, that's not good at all.
And well, no, but he's 84. He's a great, great guy. I mean, I'm crazy about him. I really love the man for what he has done more for me to educate me than probably 100 other people put together. Just that's the way he's wired. He's an information guy like I am. But this is where he was kind of joking with me. He said, you know, I've got this problem. I used to walk to the barn and I couldn't make it because my heart started pounding and racing and fluttering and flopping around and doing backflips, and I'd get dizzy and almost fall over and lose my balance. He says, no, I feel like I've got more oxygen and, like, you know, I can go there without any symptoms, and watch this. And he bent over in front of me, and he didn't black out and fall over and hit his head on the brick wall in front of the office. We were standing out in front of my office. But anyway, but I said, oh, yeah, that's a real problem there. Yeah, and he just laughs at me. But, you know, the one thing that I did with him, I just worked on the kidneys. That's all I did.
That's good.
But that was the one thing that was different over the last week. And so now that does not mean that my assessment is 100% spot on, because the body's complicated. I'm just telling you that's the only thing that we did differently. And what he told me was, and I believe him, he said, this kidney stuff, that's the only thing that we've done differently. So I'm kind of telling it from both angles here. And I tend to have a lot of faith in people, meaning, if you do, just like if you call me on the phone tomorrow and say, you know what, this may be unusual, but I went for a blood test this morning and it showed that my GFR is at 33 already. I'm going to say, hey, do you think something's different? He goes, yeah. I think the baking soda worked, and I think this worked, and that worked, and the IP6. But I believe all that stuff. It's very, very simple.
Yeah, you had also mentioned fish.
Fish is going to be one of the easier proteins on your kidneys. And so seafood, you should be good to go. Fish, you should be good. Eggs are good. I was only trying to say I am not saying that bacon or pork products is bad. It's not what I'm saying. My son sent me a text yesterday. He said he's decided to eat less sugar, and he was telling me he ate bacon. I said, well, how'd you feel? He said, I felt great. As compared to eating donuts. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
But it just takes a lot more energy. You never underestimate what happens to the body when you give it a rest. And so not making it digest foods that are hard to digest can be good.
And that 84-year-old gentleman, once you got the filtration system back in order, like he just...
Well, all of a sudden the heart is cooperating and working a whole lot better, and the average person would go, well, how does that make sense? Well, you know, the kidneys, they're cleaning all that fluid and liquid, and they're pulling poison out of the bloodstream. And the heart has to contend with all that. I just think that health is a little bit more complex and sophisticated than what we give it credit for. God's creation is pretty wonderful, isn't it?
It's supposed to last not only a lifetime, but eternity until Adam did some things he wasn't supposed to.
Well, and I'm not sure what Adam's physical body looked like prior to his eviction notice from the Garden of Eden, but I would be okay either way. I mean, you know, I'm not in the knowledge on that, so if we're given a new body in heaven and in the next life, I don't really know what that's going to look like, but I'm sure it's going to be awesome, right?
I know it's going to be awesome.
Well, I thank you very much for your phone call, and I wish you the very best, but hopefully this will be a good starting point for you, and you're already doing a lot of things right, so keep it up, and let's see some improvement.
Thank you, Dr. Moore.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Dr. Morgan, I would like to tell you a story, and then I'll hang up and let you give me some advice.
Sure.
Is that okay?
You betcha.
I am a cancer patient of a very well-known institution in the state of Texas.
Is it called MD Anderson?
Something like that.
Okay.
And they tell me that my prostate cancer has got into my spine. Now I have bone cancer, stage 4. I need a cure. It seems like all they can come with is we can take out this or cut that off or whatever, but I really need a cure, and I'm going to hang up and see if you've got any ideas at all, and I'll listen to you on the radio.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I wish you the very, very best. About 2 years ago, a man came to see me, and I'll just make it sound very simple. But he had very extensive bone cancer, and I think, and I'm just speeding the story up, but at some point, the treatments were not working, and he was getting physically weaker. And you know how doctors do. They're going to measure your white blood cell count, your platelets, other blood factors. And what they're doing is they're trying to determine, well, can I give this person another treatment, or am I going to kill him with a treatment? And you know what? It really is as simple as that. I know that sounds negative, but that's just the reality of it. And his first goal was, can you keep me alive for like the next 6 weeks because I need to get my affairs in order? And then after 6 weeks, he changed his goal, and then he changed it again. But now he's in his, we'll just say he's in his 80s, and he's doing more than he ever has. Yes, it is true that when you have cancer that eats your bones and destroys your bones, that it'd be like if I came to your house and you have all these wooden posts holding up your front porch. Well, what would happen if I chopped away at them to where they couldn't hold it up? Sure. So he's got an issue from that. But one of the sales pitches that I had for him, and I realized this can be hard. No, it's really extremely easy, but you have got to understand that cancer cells feed on sugar. Oh my goodness. You can't stop. You can't try to kill them and feed them at the same time, because one of those mechanisms is going to win. Well, it wins every time, in my experience. You have got to view sugar as poison. The only people that I ever see that make any progress and go into remission and the cancer stops growing are the ones that see sugar as the enemy. It is always standing right there at the door, watching you, waiting for a chance to pounce. As a matter of fact, there will be a lot of sweet people in your life. I'm not faulting them. That is their love language. They want to make you some double sugar-encrusted fudge bomb brownies. The problem is, you cannot stop the cancer cells from overtaking your body as long as you're feeding them their great sinful delight, which is sugar. So you've got to wrap your mind around that. You want this cancer to stop growing? Stop eating sugar. As far as that goes, I probably wouldn't eat a lick of fruit or starches or grains of any kind. I would just eat meat and vegetables. Now, there's more to it than what I'm telling you, but that would be a starting point. Number next. There is a chemical substance. It's called IGF-1. It stands for Insulin Growth Factor 1. This is found in milk. There's just no way around this. It has got to be one of the number one chemical mechanisms that help aid cancer leaving its primary location, which is the prostate, and traveling to far off distant locations, like from the prostate to the pelvis, to the spine, to the ribs, to the sternum, to the brain, to the lungs, the liver. You just can't do that. I'm not against milk at all. I love milk. Tastes great. Love butter. I'm fantasizing about butter right now. Let me see, what can I put it on and make it melt to make it taste better? Are you kidding me? If my wife puts spinach in front of me and she puts a pat of butter on top of it, what do you think I'm going to do with that? Oh, man, it's history. You'll never see that spinach again. It's gone. But if you drink milk, whether it's yogurt or cheese or milk, all you're doing is you're asking for that cancer to grow and to spread. What you need to consider is what's called a ketogenic diet. There's my recommendation. Let me know how that works for you. There is a lot more, but this could be a very overwhelming topic just real quick, and somebody else is trying to call. So please, prayerfully, put it to the test. Be skeptical. Only eat vegetables and a little bit of meat, and stay away from dairy products and sugar. If you want to heal... Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Some time ago, I had called you about a condition called retinitis pigmentosa.
Pigmentosa.
Yeah, that's it. And you had given me the name of something that is a slight possibility of helping, and I've lost.
So is that what I really worded? Did I say there's a slight possibility? Okay, all right.
It has been known to sometimes be reversed.
Well, it's an autoimmune disease.
Yes.
And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to find out what is going to trigger this.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you, do you have a doctor that's currently taking care of you?
It's for my son, actually.
Well, what is the plan? Has a doctor given him a plan that actually has reversed this retinitis pigmentosa?
No, well, actually, what they told him that it was irreversible.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had a nickel for every time I heard that word,
right,
then I wouldn't have talked to the man with the kidney failure this morning, because technically that's irreversible and that's impossible to cure.
Right.
And I wouldn't have spent my time talking to the man with bone cancer a while ago that spread from his prostate, because that's technically impossible to reverse and to cure.
Exactly.
But I don't see it that way. I just think that's just ridiculous talk that's designed to get you on massive drugs. And, I mean, you knew what you were getting into by calling me, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally biased. There's just no way around it. I am totally against those wicked lies that they tell people. Anyway, if he wants his eyes to heal, I'm just going to be very blunt and say we have to find out what one of the triggers is. And what I would guess is it's either wheat, corn, sugar, or dairy. So if he decided to maybe eat more of a slow-carb diet or low-carb diet, that would be meat and vegetables.
Okay.
He'll probably see his fortunes turn on a dime. Now, personally, I always think with a condition like that the eyes, they just need the nutrients so they can repair themselves. Anytime that you repair any tissue at a faster rate than what it breaks down, that's a win, that's a home run. So, you know what I think the eyes need? The eyes need Brussels sprouts and broccoli and cabbage and kale and asparagus.
Right.
They are phenomenal healers.
Okay.
If you said that my son loves zinc-rich foods like oysters, I'd say have at it. Personally, I'm not eating. I can't stop.
Right.
I mean, have you ever seen an oyster? I just don't even understand why somebody would eat that.
It's not made from my mouth. Right.
It is really not made from my mouth. I'm going to borrow your phrase. I like that. And so, but your son, he needs zinc to heal that tissue and to stabilize it. All we're trying to do is we're trying to get him into remission where it's not progressing. Because if we can take that as the first step and just stop the damage, then we can start to reverse this.
Okay.
Now, I do not know how much stress he has in his life. I just know it is absolutely one of the greatest predictors of how rapidly retinitis pigmentosa is going to take off and wreck a person's vision.
Okay.
And so does he have stress in his life?
Yes, he does.
Well, I'm going to recommend that we sneak up behind him with a cotton cloth that's very clean with fresh chloroform on it. And we're going to put it over his nose, and when he wakes up, he'll be on an island in Jamaica.
Okay.
And he'll probably have, Coco the Cabana Girl serving him fresh lemonade made from stevia.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that would work.
You mean he wouldn't be upset with me if I did that to him?
I don't think he would. Okay.
Yeah, no one's refused that protocol. It's just getting them there.
Exactly. But I was thinking that you had also mentioned a particular vitamin or something, too, that might help at one time.
Well, I mean, yeah, let me cover that. Sorry, I should have fulfilled your request to begin with. Please forgive
me. Okay.
So what the eye needs to stabilize it, it needs what's called DHA, docosahexaenoic acid, but you can get that from fish oil.
Okay.
So his eyes are hungry and thirsty for the very nutrients to heal. So let's either give him tuna fish oil or cod liver oil or some type of fish oil like that.
Okay.
And let's see if there's an improvement. Zinc is one of the most important minerals to deal with.
Right. Okay.
If I told you what I see the eyes doing when I look at them, they cannot tolerate sugar. There's no way around it. I wish I could tell you something different. But if he's eating very cheap junk food that has no redeeming value, I don't mind if he has a bag of sour cream onion chips once a week. That doesn't bother me at all.
Right.
But he needs about 6 days a week where he's eating things like spinach and kale and Brussels sprouts.
Okay, he does a lot of raw vegetables and blending them up and doing something, but
but he still has to leave that sugar alone. That's one of his problems. So,
well, I mean, but you're going to probably agree with me that you can't both kill the eyes and feed them at the same
time.
It's kind of like when I was telling the guy about the cancer.
You can't
feed it and try to give it chemotherapy at the same time and expect a good result.
Exactly. Okay, well, I think that answers it. I've got it all written down. The one more thing, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
I had talked to one of the health food, the people at the health food store. I like to get products from there. And I heard you say a while back that I'm thinking, I don't want to misquote, but I was thinking you said it's very few people you found calcium that you didn't see alkaline, but the person at the health food store had told me that cancer couldn't live in alkaline. So we started drinking more alkaline water and taking alkaline capsules, so now I'm thinking we might need to leave that alone, right?
No, I don't know that I want to really choose that battle right there, but I would probably have more confidence in your son using fresh lemon juice or fresh lime juice every day or a smidgen of baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the easiest things to use along with a good diet and exercise to help alkalize the body. But as far as the alkaline water,
yeah,
I just don't know about that. I mean, I can tell you from just a lot of experience taking care of people with kidney failure,
right,
I can't ever get them well on alkaline water. Can't.
Okay.
It's been impossible. Now, there may be another physician that calls up and says, Dr. Morgan, you've got this all wrong. I've been taking care of kidney patients for the last 45 years, and that is the number one success that I have is alkaline. I just haven't seen it.
Well, I trust.
So, anyway.
I'm asking you, but I'll take your word for it. Okay.
Well, anyway, I wish you the very best, and give my love to your son, and I hope he makes a full recovery.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, there's plenty of time for a phone call at 903-586-5257. It's completely fine with me if you put everything that I'm saying and the people are saying to the test to see if it's true or not. It's fine. Good morning and welcome to the program. Hello,
good
how are
morning.
You? Hi.
I just wanted to have your opinion on this race that's going around.
You're going to have to turn your radio off because I hear a lot of background.
Better?
Yeah, thank you.
Garcinia Cambogia, what's your opinion on that?
It doesn't beat discipline. It doesn't beat principles.
But is there any benefit in it?
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Okay.
Well, what are you wanting it to do? To suppress your appetite where you're not hungry?
Well, I've just been reading all the reports on it.
Can I tell you what always disturbs me about this? And I'm not realizing I'm just telling you what my thought process is. I would rather you read a book where you become so motivated that you go, finally, I understand what I'm doing now. I'm going to eat vegetables, and let's just say, for example, that you read that Weight Watchers' average weight loss each month is 1.2 pounds, and I think it costs $15 per class, but that is the most successful weight loss program in America right now. Do you like the idea of 1.2 pounds of weight loss per month?
Mm.
Is that really appealing to you for $60 a month?
I like a little bit more than that.
Okay. So here's what would happen. If you weigh yourself every morning and write that number down, the average weight loss is 3.2 pounds a month. Did you know that?
That's pretty good.
Did you know that when people take their cell phone and they take a picture of everything that they eat, so if you go to a restaurant with your husband and he is going to get you that kale salad that has salmon on top of, you take a picture of it, if you just do that, your average weight loss is 4.6 pounds. That was from a recent study. Why would I do Weight Watchers if I can just take a picture of it or I can measure myself on the scales? And that makes me very aware of what I'm doing, but you got to do it consistently. If you do it every single day, that's the people that win. The people that don't measure every day, they don't win. They just did a study, and they said, we're gonna hire a trainer to train these people for weight loss. And then they had other people and said, we're not telling them anything. We just want them to take a tape measure, like you would use in sewing, and we want them to measure around mid-thigh, widest part at the hips, waist at the belly button, both arms, and add those numbers up. Would you guess that the people that just measure themselves every day, they lost more weight than the people that had the personal trainer? It's all in the mind. And so if you read a book that had principles and discipline, always trumps Garcinia Cambogia. Always. It can't even compete. But in the American way of life is, we really want to spend our energy on things that aren't principles. We like quick fixes. What do you think about that?
I know. I've tried the Garcinia, but I don't. I'm
well,
not.
Tell me what your goal is. That's much more important than an herb. What do you want to accomplish?
I actually probably lose about 80 pounds.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a ketogenic diet?
Yes.
You know what the compliance rate is for that? 10%. That means 90% of people don't do it. Have you ever heard of fasting before?
Yes.
I've seen more people lose weight with intermittent fasting than probably any other technique. What if you decide that 2 days a week you're going to skip food for 21 hours a day and just eat all your food in 4 hours or 3 hours?
Well,
I guarantee you, you'll lose weight.
I was looking at a program I found on YouTube, this doctor who's a nutritionist and a chiropractor like you are.
Yeah,
He was promoting that. I can't remember his name, and I thought, I've never heard a doctor actually say, no, you know, everybody's talking about weight loss, about eating small meals all through the day, and he's going opposite. He's doing this.
Well, yeah, and I don't think that's what you want to do, because at 80 pounds, your insulin levels are probably too high, and if you eat small, frequent meals throughout the day, you're just keeping your insulin up. And insulin, it tells your body to store food in the form of fat. That's one of the reasons why. The very first caller this morning, I told him if he would drink lemon juice in water prior to a meal, test it. See if we can start getting your nutrition from your digestive tract to your muscles where it belongs. That will help with that. Because if you do not do that, if the food that you're eating and the tone of your muscles and your body is not great, then the food's just going to sit there and your body's going to convert it into triglycerides. And triglycerides is the only stored form a fat in the human body. So if you want to reverse this trend, I mean, I would probably go more to a higher fat diet with more intermittent fasting. You know what? If you were at church tomorrow and somebody greets you with a holy kiss that has the flu, and you get sick and you're in bed for 3 days and you don't eat, well, you'll drop, what, 11 pounds right there?
Probably. I wouldn't say real good, but I've made progress this year. Probably since last December, I've lost about 25 pounds.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. Well, I get to put these principles to the test every single day. So I had a man that came to see me 2 months ago. He weighed 238.5 on the scales. I'm not telling you what his motivation was, but he was very motivated. And so we just put it to the test. We just tried 2 meals a day. Skipping breakfast. That's just his story. I'm not making that for everybody. And so he weighed 238.5. I put him on the scales. In 1 month, he was 212. And he had a request for him. He said, can we loosen this up? I said, how so? He said, I want cornbread. I said, well, eat cornbread. And how many times a week do you want? He said, 3. I said, let's do it. And so he loosened that up just a little bit by adding some grains back into the diet. And I weighed him on the scales again. He was 196 the next time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do the math on that. What is that, 42 pounds that he lost in 2 months?
That's pretty good.
But it's principles, principles, principles. And if I don't get the insulin under control, then I don't ever see any progress with this. And I have some people that do this very easy, and I have some people that don't do it, and I have some people that do it kicking and screaming the whole way.
Let me ask you this on the insulin thing. I mean, when I went back to the doctor a month or so ago, you know, my blood insulin level was too high.
Well, and that's what fasting is, the number one successful technique for lowering insulin. There's nothing that beats that. Nothing.
He knows I won't take drugs, so he's always recommending supplements like this. You know, go to the health food store and get this and this and this.
Well, and that's, I think that's a step in the right direction.
And he recommended berberine and alpha lipoic acid, and I went.
And all those are good stuff. Good.
So what kind of dosage would you recommend on the those things?
Oh, no, compared to fasting, I wouldn't even, not even important to me.
Oh, okay.
Did I mention that fasting is free and doesn't cost $34.95?
Yeah, I know.
No, you do exactly what you want to do, but if you want to be free from this malady, if you want to be renewed and restored, where your friends look at you and go, you know, you look kind of familiar, but I don't know who you, well, it's me, it's Mrs. Jones. You know, I want a tremendous transformation. So I'm afraid that the more that I study this issue, people become distracted and they put too much emphasis in faith. I love Alpha Lipoacid. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think berberine is wonderful. All you can do is just take the manufacturer's recommended dose that's on the bottle and see what happens. Put it to the test. If you become completely transformed by taking berberine, then I'll say, man, tell me more about that. How'd you do that? If you take Garcinia cambogia and you take that and you get completely transformed, I'd like to know about that. But personally, in 30 years of doing this, I haven't seen those make tremendous transformations in people. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can call and give me a different take on that. But principles, they work every single time.
If I threw all the supplements away and just did the fasting.
Well, no, I don't want you to throw the supplements away. I'm just saying if you could incorporate fasting along with what you're doing, because, I mean, the principles are your cells need nourishment to be able to do their job and function properly. It's kind of hard otherwise. And so if you tried intermittent fasting, this is just one or two ways it could work. You could say, all right, it's a brand new day. This is Saturday morning, October the 29th or 21st. But what you would do is... you'd say, you know what, I'm not even going to eat breakfast, and if I get hungry, I'm going to take a spoonful of apple cider vinegar, put it in a glass of water, and drink it, and see if that helps satisfy my appetite to where the cravings go away. Because we have to break that cycle, because insulin is crying to you, eat, eat, eat.
Mm-hmm.
How many overweight animals have you seen out in the woods? I've never seen one.
I don't spend much time in the woods.
Well, let me rephrase that. How many animals at the zoo do you see that are overweight?
Not many.
No, they just won't allow it. But if you watch a program on television, I have never seen an overweight animal even one time. I don't see overweight bob. Saw a bobcat the other day. You think the bobcat weighed 400 pounds? No, it's probably more like about 18 or 19 pounds. Tell you what, though, he gave me a stare for a split second. I'm not sure if he raised his eyebrow and licked his lips, but I started to move. Anyway, he disappeared into the grass, and about I blinked, and he was gone. I never saw him again. Principles. If you fast, the more time that you put in between your meals or before you eat your first meal of the day, the better. That's one of the reasons why. The American Heart Association diet for reversing heart disease is a complete abysmal failure. If you use that for diabetes, it's totally a failure. If you use the American Diabetic Diet to reverse diabetes and cure it, it's a failure. You know which diet beat all the other top diets? It's just normal people like you and I, which is who I like to take care of. They just chose to eat two meals a day. They either ate a late breakfast at 11 o'clock or they ate lunch at 12 and they ate early supper.
Mm-hmm.
But they got all their food in within about 4 to 5 to 6 hours. So if you're fasting somewhere between 18 to 21 hours a day, that's where insulin goes down and human growth hormone goes up. That's what you want. I guarantee you, if you start getting surges of human growth hormone, that's where you're going to be the happiest girl of all time and you're going to say, why did my doctor not explain this to me before? I could have taken years off my life and gotten from point A to point B faster.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've also got a praise and a thank you for something that you told me a couple of years ago, and I did. You told me I was having a lot of problems with I still have a lot of inflammation, but you told me to get off the statin drugs that caused the inflammation.
Did I say that on the radio?
Yes.
Well, yeah. That doesn't sound like, because that's against the law for me to practice medicine without a license. I would never do that.
Words, but anyway, you told me that statin drugs would cause inflammation, and I quit taking my statin drugs, and I don't have near the pain that I've had.
Wow. Okay.
And my cholesterol numbers are awesome.
Good.
I mean, and it's been nearly 2 years, and my doctor is amazed, but he says, keep doing what you're doing.
Sounds like a winner.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to get off the phone now so somebody else can call in, but I just wanted to have your opinion on that, and you've reinforced some thinking. I was thinking about going to the ketogenic fasting thing, too, anyway, so I appreciate that.
I think that if you do that with discipline and consistency, you're going to see unbelievable results that you couldn't imagine your wildest dreams.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you very much, ma'am. Bye-bye. Alrighty, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. We have at least 3 to 4 minutes left. Let's just get after it and do it. Good morning. Thanks for your phone call.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for turning your radio down.
Yeah, I'm sitting here by it. What a great program you got going.
Oh, you're very kind. Thanks.
Okay. In the matter of damaging your kidneys, I've been on meloxicam 15 milligrams for quite some time. I have horrible condition in my shoulders where I don't have anything left but bone grinding on bone, and the meloxicam 15 milligrams, how long can you keep that going without wiping out your kidneys or something of that nature?
Well, I have not seen any studies that show that the consuming ginger wrecks the kidneys, or turmeric, or curcumin, or fish oil, or magnesium, or vitamin C, or if you rub a drop of tea tree oil on your shoulders for pain. I have not seen one study that shows those wreck the kidneys ever.
Okay, because I tried to take myself off the meloxicam, and the pain is so intense at night, I don't get any sleep.
Have you tried rubbing a drop of tea tree oil on the painful part of your shoulder?
Could you spell that?
T-E-A. Second word is tree. T-R-E-E.
Tea tree oil.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
Have you tried a product called Arnicare?
No, I've just been locked into that meloxicam,
sure.
15 milligram thing.
Well, you know, you can the moment I get off the phone with you, you can drive down to Drug Emporium or Granary,
mm-hmm.
health food store. I think they sell this at the liquor store also. I'm joking about that. They don't.
Well, I'm right out here. I'm in Coffee City, a place that sells all kinds of coffee.
No. Coffee City's not famous for liquor sales on Lake Palestine. No, I haven't heard of that.
But they sell nothing.
But there's a product called Arnicare, and it's made from a home.
How's that spelled?
Arnicare. And what you could do is you could just slather that all over the shoulders all day long and see if tonight is the greatest night's sleep you've ever had.
Mm.
Or you could take the juice of a lemon. Do you have a wife?
Yes, a wonderful wife.
Well, you just tell her to slather your shoulders with olive oil, Arnicare, tea tree oil, and fresh lemon juice. And I know the honeybees will be following you all over your property today, which is not a problem, is it?
Olive oil.
And you'll tell me that your shoulders are like a million times. The reason I said turmeric or curcumin earlier is because these things, they have a interesting ability at rejuvenating the cartilage. And unfortunately, we're all out of time, so let me let you go, but call me back and try those things and see if they work, okay?
Okay, and that was the tea tree care.
Tea tree oil, and then Arnicare. You're starting to sound like me, though. I always combine two or three words together.
All righty.
All right, thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, you're listening to KBGS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.